Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohlig right here on LA Talk Radio.
And of course, Paul Strohlig is in Chicago.
Thank God he is.
Yes, on an extended holiday vacation, I might add.
Yeah, and he mentioned he might want to call in, but then he said he couldn't, and wasn't that a profound relief for us?
A little too busy for us.
That's right. Too good for us.
Yeah. Well, you know, he went to Wisconsin, I think, to buy some cheese. That's what he told me.
Really?
So, yeah.
Now, you are Michael Sterling.
I am. And who are you?
I am Mark Aidan Gray.
And so gratefully, sitting in for Paul during his absence. So thank you, Mark, for doing that.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And and Thanksgiving week just passed.
Yes. How was that?
Well, as a Jew, the main value for Thanksgiving for me is conflict, embarrassment, resentment. And I had one embarrassing moment this Thanksgiving. We were newbies at someone's house.
Yeah.
So my wife and I showed up as the two newbies.
So the first time ever celebrating Thanksgiving in America?
No. I've done it before, but at these people's house.
Okay.
Two friends, husband and wife. And just before the food's about to be eaten, the husband wants to make a grand speech. It's his first Thanksgiving at his house. So he starts, and then he gets very somber all of a sudden and says, look, I'm thankful for everyone that's here. And unfortunately, you know, there's two friends that we have that couldn't be here. And it gets very dark and somber, and we can only imagine what happened to those people. And then Victoria, right as he says that, says, yeah, but we're replacing them. So it's all fine. And I turned to her. We're replacing people who are probably dead right now. Okay. And it all goes very quiet. Turns out that she'd spoken to the woman of the house. Those two people are not dead. They're alive and well. They're on the East Coast. And they had already joked that we were the replacements.
Oh.
But I didn't know that at the time. So that was quite embarrassing.
Well, but you... Who got you out of it? I hope your wife stepped up to the plate.
She went up and apologized to him and said, I already spoke to your wife and, you know, I'm sorry. What? And yes, and then it was all fine.
Because, you are your own people, right?
We are. But if someone's saying, you know, we're sorry for the people that are no longer here, to then say we're replacing them is a little bit much.
Yeah, I would think so. Not the best way to start off.
No, it wasn't. What about you?
I actually had a very unexpectedly nice day.
Really?
Going to the home of... friends of mine, Valerie Perry, who is a great Broadway star, who toured this country playing Ava Perone in the first U.S. national tour of Evita, and her husband, Cliff Lipson, who was a CBS photographer for years and years and years. And their sons, who are twins, and lovely friends of theirs, some of whom I knew. And they live in a very unusual house here, a very unusual home that's enormous.
In terms of design?
Yes, it is. It was built back in 1926.
Oh.
And it has many of the original pieces of architecture remaining in the house and then infused with more modern day, you know, architecture design. And Valerie, unexpectedly, I guess I always think of these Broadway folks, or you show business folks, as not being ones that would actually cook a meal. You know, but you'd have somebody else cook it. And in this case, she did everything. Really? I mean, not without some help. We all were in the kitchen doing something at some point, you know, stirring the string beans.
And yes.
She was handling the turkey. Her husband was doing this. So, and a beautiful, sumptuous meal. And then an impromptu concert.
Well, I was going to ask you, was she saying, everyone's coming up, Roseanne, as she was doing the turkey or something? Or no? Sorry. Apologies to our listeners.
But no, with her sons. Her sons, who are both musicians. And it was just at the end of the dinner. So it was very unexpected and short.
How lovely.
Yeah,
now,
I think so.
We actually have a phone call coming in. This is controversial. Let's see if...
What is that area code?
It's 253. Hello, is anyone there?
Yes, someone is here.
Is this Paul Strohlig, a.k.a. Stroker? Are you calling in from the East Coast?
You know, I am. I'm listening to the show. I just had to share my own Thanksgiving tale. I hope I didn't interrupt anyone's there.
Of course you did.
Sorry about the...
Just four of us here, yeah.
Okay, go
two
on.
Two replacements, yeah.
Yeah,
that's it.
That's fine. We have nothing to do here. Yeah. There's plenty of time. Go on. What's your story, Paul?
Well, no, I just, you know, I had a Thanksgiving out here in Chicago with Monica's family, and we had a great time, except we have these two incredibly rude Australians at our dinner party.
Okay.
And they were making fun of our deceased friends. And,
right,
was really off-putting. And
I'm sure.
Wanted to share that too.
Well, we're doing that everywhere, so we can visit your home
right,
next year.
Tour exactly. With that. Exactly.
We're here for hire.
Coming to a home near you.
That's right. That's right. So, Paul, how is everything out there? Is everything good?
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Everything is going well. I just wanted to say that I listened to last week and listening this week live. You guys seem to be having a ball. It's almost sad how little I missed in listening to the show.
But that's not true.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. I really enjoyed last week, and I look forward to listening this week. I don't want to impose on your interview and the folks you have there. I called during the broadcast, so you haven't revealed who you have in the studio yet.
We haven't had a chance. No.
Yeah. Thank you, Stella. Well said. Well said.
But we're on to that. But would you bring back?
I'll let you do that. I just wanted to call in and say I'm thinking of you both and loving what you're doing, Mark. You're handling it beautifully.
Thank you, Paul.
I know sitting opposite Michael Sterling, that's no small task. So
I'll take that in whatever sense it was meant. But thank you for providing me with your seat.
I won't.
That's right. All right.
Well, all right, Paul.
Best to you both, and look forward to listening to the rest of the show.
All right. Love to Monica.
Thanks, Paul.
He's a nice man, isn't he?
He is. That's lovely of him to call
in. Cheese and all from Wisconsin. I wanted him to bring back some cheese. So, Paul, if you're listening, bring back cheese. Okay? I think we need to, do some business here, right?
Yes. I would love to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownServices.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar. And you know, Mark, I'm still looking forward to the show today because with us we have,
yes,
two stars of one of LA's biggest hit comedy dramas, Women Are Crazy Because Men Are A-Holes.
But it's actually, you've pronounced the title incorrectly. It's Women Are Crazy Because Men Are A**holes.
There you go.
That's how they
there
want us go. To say it.
That, all right.
Sorry, continue.
It's their rating on iTunes. Now on stage in its encore run at West Hollywood's Macha Theater, where it ran last year for a whopping 9 months. Mm. One of our guests is known for having been one of the fashion industry's most successful male models. He is also an actor and a celebrated screenwriter and producer. Let's just say hello to the distinguished Hoyt Richards.
Hello there, sir.
Well, hello.
How are you?
Great to be here.
Thank you for coming today.
Absolutely.
And today's second guest not only raises the bar on beauty in the studio, but has enjoyed a diverse acting career in motion pictures. I like that, motion pictures. Let's not call them films or movies. Motion pictures, television, and on the theater stage, or just on the stage. Say hello to the lovely and talented Miss Nikki McKenzie.
Hello, Nikki.
Hello.
Nice to see you again.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, we have just a little more stuff I want to ask you.
Yes.
You are a very diverse person yourself.
Thank you.
Not only do things like this, but you're a wonderful actor and have great credits in television and film.
Thank you.
And the theater. And you also managed to somehow teach others how to do what you do.
I teach at UCLA Extension, that's right. And I also coach actors privately in LA.
Yeah.
And that was unexpected that I started teaching at UCLA, but it just kind of opened up.
How long have you been doing that?
I've been doing that 3 years. And, the funny thing is, you hear teachers say it made me a better actor or whatever it is you do for your profession. And I thought it was a cliche. It really does help to be cycling through the process with other people.
Right. Well, I'm sure it does, yeah. Yeah. That makes sense to me. And how old are these students that you teach? Just regular college age?
Extension has quite a wide variety. I've had people that were 65.
Really?
And people that were 18. And it's a different challenge, but it's a joy with people that are 65. They're usually doing it more for self-development than for acting for a career. Mm-hmm. But it's a joy. So
that's very nice. It's a nice sideline for you to do.
It really is.
Make money at doing something that you enjoy doing and passing the craft along to somebody else.
Keeps you in the creative realm. Yeah.
Which is why I do what I do with my nightclub. I don't know whether you know this or not, but I have a nightclub here.
We'll be there Sunday night.
That's right. You are coming Sunday night.
Can't wait.
It's called Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal. And the Federal is in North Hollywood. It's a very happening place there across the street from the NoHo Arts down the street from the NoHo Arts Center and across the street from the El Portal Theater and across the street from the Art Institute of California. So it's just very artsy.
And who do you have for a Sterling Sunday night?
Well, it's a holiday show, the first one of the season. And we have Broadway's Jason Gras, a special guest.
Great.
And Shannon Warren, who's one of our great regional musical theater stars, and a cast of six around them. And it's very, it's a very unique kind of concept. It's you learn something about the material that they're singing from a host who has a very sharp and clever repartee with the audience. And then they go into the numbers. So it's kind of something for everyone. We actually have two very young kids in this particular outing for, you know, the families that will be there. So, yes, and then coming up at the club, we have Tony Award winner John Lloyd Young, who is the star of Jersey Boys on Broadway, who created the role of Frankie Valli and also the motion picture. He's coming up later in the month. And Cortez Alexander, who is coming. He's from Broadway, and he was discovered by Liza Minnelli.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
And he does an amazing show, and rumor has it, though I can't say if it's true or not, you'll just have to come and find out that Miss Minnelli herself will not only be in the audience, but will be performing.
Oh, I'm there. Yeah. And if she's not, if she doesn't perform, I'll be furious.
Yeah.
But this is fantastic. I hope
this
she does.
Just
it's worth showing
just
up to see.
You know, buzz on the street. That's what that is.
I will try not to make a spectacle of myself on Sunday night.
Really? Well, now, you have to come on
I'll
that
try.
Particular.
Yeah, both. I'll come
both. Oh, you're
going to
come on both?
Yeah.
All right. Well, good. All right. We'll set that up.
Can't
wait. But right now, why don't we get into our first guest, right?
Yes.
Yes. He is not only a Princeton University graduate and former varsity football player, but is considered the fashion industry's first male supermodel.
Yeehaw!
There you go. He was named one of Vogue magazine's top 25 models of all time and has been glorified by fashion's most iconic photographers, including Richard Avedon, Bruce Weber, Greg Gorman, and many more. He has also been the subject of ad campaigns for the great Ralph Lauren, Donna Karan, Giannini Versace, Valentino, Alfred Dunhill, and Cartier, to name but a few. He is a screenwriter, a film and television actor, and a producer of motion pictures. His personal life is as interesting as his extraordinary career is edgy, so much so that he's in the process of writing a book covering a select 20 years of his life while simultaneously prepping a screenplay and a scripted drama series.
Wow.
Yeah. And if that's not enough, you can see him live, close up and personal, on stage in Brad T. Godfrey's mega hit play, Women Are Crazy Because Men Are **Whole.
Thank you, Sterling. So kind of me.
So, such a mouthful. My God.
Yes.
At the Matcha Theater in West Hollywood, please welcome the one and only Hoyt Richards.
Yeah.
Hey.
Sir.
Well, happy to be here.
Yes, happy to have you here. So, tell us about this other side of your life first before we get to the play.
Which part? My infamous cult life?
Well, you said it. We were going to get there. I didn't know we were going to get there that quickly.
Okay, let's kick this off.
I've gotten quite comfortable with it by now.
So you're a major top model in New York and somewhere along early on in your early years.
Well, actually, it happened even before. So by the time I started modeling, I was involved with the cult leader, but I actually...
Did you know what you were getting into?
No one joins a cult. You think
well, I know, but I mean, you had no inkling of
well,
an idea
I,
that something
I,
was off?
It's like any bad relationship. You can look back at those early moments and go, yeah, there were signs. There were definitely things I saw that were I was uncomfortable with, but you buy into the bigger picture and then you rationalize and then you're being manipulated. So all those things work against you and ultimately what you buy into versus what it actually is are two very different things. It only took me about 20 years to figure that out, but I did. Thank
you. Now, you're talking about your acting career right now. Sorry. We haven't gotten right. We're talking about, I apologize. Sorry. I've got to pay more attention.
It's similar, though. That's how I ended up as an actor. I figured, you know, because I was living a double life for most of my life. I mean, when I was
out of fear.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was a case of the fact that living the life of a supermodel is kind of a, and that's such a crazy term, but you know, when you're traveling 300 days a year and you're constantly on the road and you're by yourself, you wouldn't think you would be able to be influenced by a group like the way I was, but once you've been indoctrinated, you become your own worst prison guard, in a sense.
Oh,
so,
yes.
You're basically being told that your only real friends are the people in the group. And you become, they're like your spiritual family, and everyone else is, it's very much an us versus them. Everyone else is potentially someone who could take you off the path. So you're always very kind of suspect. Now, I personally had a lot of relationships in the industry, as well as friends from college that I really cared about, that I had to downplay those relationships because that wasn't accepted in the group. So to those friends and family that I had at the time, I was not telling them what was going involved, you know, with the group. Mm-hmm. So I was lying to them. And then likewise in the group, I wasn't being honest with them either about these relationships I had outside of it. So I just felt like I was lying to everybody all the time.
So this reeks of Scientology.
It really does.
Same principles, right?
Yes. Yeah,
and you put all these groups are they work on the same principles. I mean, when you actually study mind control and the way cults use influence techniques, there's virtually 8 tenets that all of them use because it's just the way it works, and it works on any and everyone.
You made a large financial contribution to them through the years,
yes.
I understand. But
that's a very kind way of putting it. Thank you.
You turned around and took them to court and won, which basically is why they shut down.
Yeah, I mean, it's always great to first have an awakening, as I did at a certain point in my life. It's even better to be able to face your demons and actually take them down to a point where you think that they can't harm anyone else. Mm-hmm. And so that was very satisfying. I mean, it wasn't necessarily enjoyable going through it, but definitely satisfying.
So in addition to having a BA in economics, you know, from London, and a supermodel and handsome and statuesque and all of that, you're also a hero. Is that right?
Well, if you
pretty
want,
much.
This is remarkable.
I don't know if I can own that, but I've been lucky to have the life I've had, and if nothing else, like the things that I have in my life now that I'm so grateful for. If it took all this craziness to get to this place, then it's all worth
it. It's interesting because you had such a very specific upbringing and where you went to school and all those things. Everything was in order. And then this stepped into your life.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that people misconstrue, and I was as guilty of it as anyone, that the fact that I didn't come from a broken family, the fact that I wasn't like a drug addict or I wasn't a runaway, in my mind, that meant, well, that disqualified me from ever getting involved in something like this. And that's just an inaccurate point of view. Now, when I was deep in the group and there are crazy things going on and anything that you would easily label as being cultic, I still believed, even though people are calling it that, and for years been telling me I was in such a thing, I still believed the mere fact that I was in the group meant that it couldn't be a cult. That the fact that I was there was enough for me to say, well, it's not that, because I would never do that. And that's one of the messages I try to parlay to other people, that as long as you think it can't happen to you, which is what I was guilty of, that's your greatest area of vulnerability.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you had another friend of yours who was also quite a star as a in the modeling business at the time, Fabio, who helped you out.
At my darkest time, there were very, very few places when I escaped, and it took me 3 attempts to be successful. They caught me twice. So
what does that mean? They caught you twice.
Well, I mean, it's not
physically.
I mean, it was the both of the cases were a circumstance of where I had been told I had to have certain obligations, and I was backing away from that. So in the first case, I had been told I had to go down to the Lake House compound, and I was going to basically live there and give up my career and start, living this life, basically, as they called me, the bald Hausfrau, because they were going to shave my head, and I was going to do every type of menial type of labor to be taught humility, because I was starting to doubt certain, tenets that were occurring in the group, because our cult leader had died at that point. The guy who was now leading the group was not nearly as charismatic and not nearly as influential. So I, being out in the world a little bit more, was saying, I don't know if these predictions that the cult leader maid who's now dead and are supposed to be happening within the next few years are really going to happen. So I was, you know, being a little
You were questioning it.
Yeah, I was kind of, and I was being painted as a blasphemer of sorts. So to kind of bring me back into alignment, they said, you have to come down here to North Carolina, and we're going to basically, in no uncertain terms, re-indoctrinate you and to save you from yourself. So I was hesitant about that, and I didn't want to. And so I actually first went out to California, and then because I used the apartment in New York at that time, they just figured out a time when I was going to be in New York, and they basically met me there and said, we're taking you to North Carolina. So then at one point after that, I escaped on my own, like in the middle of the night. I still had driving privileges at that point, and I, you know, went to the airport and left. And then I thought I had nothing with me, really. So I said, at least, you know, I got to grab some stuff from New York before I kind of figure out what I'm going to do. And I thought, they'll never think I'm so stupid to go back to the New York apartment because that would be too obvious. And, of course, they said, well, we don't know where he could go, but we ought to at least try. So they caught me again in the New York
apartment.
Amazing. So the third time I figured, okay, don't go to the apartment. And then I actually got away. And the place I thought of where I couldn't really go to my family, I couldn't really go to any friends who I knew would naturally inquire what the hell I was doing there. I was basically showing up with a bald head and not a pot to piss in. And Fabio was someone who I'd known for years and had always been friendly. And he had always had an open door policy whenever I was in L.A., stay at his place. And bless his heart, he's so involved with everything he was doing. I knew it was probably not going to be likely that he would ask me too many questions. He's going to be happy to have his friend there. And he just allowed me to just stay as long as I wanted and incubate and try to figure out my life. Because at that point, I didn't even know it was a cult. I just knew I had to get out of there. I couldn't handle the treatment I was going through.
So you were not working any longer?
No, I was basically sequestered down there. I was basically trapped. I had to be the first one up, the last one to bed, do every type of slave labor they could teach me. They were weekly shaving my head, so I couldn't go off and model. And and I was facing a verbal firing squad every night. And I'm not exaggerating. I say every night of anywhere from like 12 to 15 people where they were claiming, and they were not inaccurate, that I was resentful and resistant to some of my chores that day. And I was, because I'd look in the mirror, I'd look like a convict, and I thought, you know, I could be actually in Paris today with Claudia Schiffer making 15 G's a day and kissing her, and instead I'm cleaning toilets. I guess I'm not spiritual.
Right.
They've been telling me for this many years that I'm just a hopeless case, and I guess they're right. So I left not thinking that the treatment was abusive, which it clearly was. I left thinking, I can't measure up to what they want me to be. Therefore, I'm actually dead weight to the group, so the least I can do is relieve them from my presence, because they're spending so much time on basically a hopeless cause.
Yes.
So that's how I left. I thought it was the greatest act of cowardice at the time, but now I realize it's different.
We're very happy that you were a hopeless cause. That's fantastic.
But, I mean, when you left, pride in that. How long was it before you started legal proceedings?
It took me about a year and a half before I was even ready to diagnose that it had been a cult. Mm-hmm. I mean, I went into what's called post-traumatic stress disorder, and I was deep into depression, and I still wasn't really ready to take that ownership that this was a cult. But people have been saying it for so many years. I said, you know what? I know it wasn't. I would never join a cult, but let me just do some research so I can cross it off the list. And I had gone online and I found the best-selling book on, it's called Combating Cult Mind Control by this guy, Steve Hassan. And he had been in the Moonies. And I was like, well, yeah, the Moonies was a cult, but I wasn't in a cult. But I said, all right, I'll get the book just to kind of cover my bases. And the first 50 pages was how he had been indoctrinated. And wow, you could have just changed the names. I was like, okay. I'm a cult victim. Mm-hmm. And that's how I started to move down the recovery path at that point. And I reunited with my family and friends and went on a very active recovery process. And now I actually have become friends with Steve Hassan and actually work with him on cases helping families get their kids out of cults.
That is remarkable.
Yes, so. It is.
Well, we will get – this is amazing, we've spent, but it's fascinating. We're going to do our arts calendar in a couple of minutes, but why don't we move to this wonderful show that you're in, and then we'll talk more about your supermodeling, because I have questions about that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the show is fantastic. I mean, first of all, I love Brad. He is an incredibly talented guy. We actually met when we were producing a movie together in Oklahoma.
The director and writer,
yes, Brad
Gottfried.
Brad Gottfried. And Brad is just another actor with multi-hyphenates. You know, he's a writer, he's a producer. And so when we both met, we shared a certain sentiment of, listen, acting's fantastic and we love performing, but it's always nice to just not limit yourself to that. And I actually coach actors, who want to become writers, or I coach writers who want to become producers, because I'm all about, listen, it's great to find something you love, but it's not either or, it's both and. Keep
yes,
adding
parallel
to the
paths.
Yeah. And so meeting Brad, we were kind of kindred spirits. And to be perfectly candid, I never thought I'd be doing theater here in L.A., but you know, Brad said, I've got this play I'm doing, it's doing well, and I went to take a look at it, and I love Brad's work.
Yeah.
And I went to see the play a few times, and I was like, this is hilarious, and it's a fun night out, and it's so not what you imagine L.A. theater to be like. And, you know, the first act's only a half an hour, the second act's only 35 minutes, and you're laughing, and also touched the whole time. So I'm just proud to be a part of it. I'm thrilled, you know, that Brad's done so well with it, and I get to work with amazing, you know, cast like Nikki here, and it's just we're like our own little family now, and it's been nothing but a dream come true.
Well, it's so relatable, you know, to the audiences that keep flocking in to see this show, because I think we've all can identify with, you know, the relationships we're watching on stage being five different couples.
Yeah, I tell people, if you can't relate to one of them, you'll probably relate to all five.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And so is this run any different for you than last time, which
was about
a year ago?
What's nice about this run is we know it's a product that people like. So it's trying to not disappoint the expectations that come along with it. But also it's a little preparation for the next stage, which is going to be New York. So, you know, it's just kind of fun to go on this ride as a shared experience. I'm very much a team player.
Will you go to New York if it goes?
Yeah, I'll go to New York.
Which I understand is kind of positioned for summer, hopefully.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'd love to go to New York. I mean, obviously, I can't just uproot and leave, you know, full time, but certainly go there. And I've got so many friends and my family's in Philly, so any excuse to go back east, and this is a great one, right?
Well, it seems like a show tailor-made to go on a long run.
Yeah. Well, a testament to it is that after the first weekend, which was on November 14th when it opened, that the following weekend it was extended all the way through February 15th.
That does not happen all the time. That's remarkable.
So congratulations to all of you for being a part of something so successful like that.
Absolutely.
It's a real
gift.
Shall we do the arts calendar real quick?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And without further ado, Tony Award winners Audra McDonald and Martin Short, who I love, will headline Palm Springs McCallum Theatre in its annual fundraising gala this evening, Thursday, December 4th. Joined by a 60-piece orchestra under the direction of Richard Kaufman. The annual gala will also pay tribute to the extraordinary Donna McMillan, a woman of monumental kindness and a shining example of the spirit of generosity. Donna has long been an extraordinary friend of the McCallum and has supported many wonderful such projects that make living in the desert so special. Co-chairs of the McCallum Theatre's annual gala are Helene Galen and Harold Matzner.
And proceeds from this annual fundraiser event help fund McCallum Theatre operations as well as arts education programs, very important as we all know, that bring training in theatre, dance, music, and visual arts to 40,000 school children and educators each year in 228 classrooms. These funds also make it possible to continue to bring world-class performances to over 150,000 residents and visitors to the Coachella Valley, annually. Tickets to see the gala's incomparable Audra McDonald and Martin Short, who I recently interviewed, and he is the loveliest guy ever.
That's great.
I've had the pleasure of speaking to, and obviously quite talented. In concert this evening, both of them, this evening's performance, there are some tickets available online or by telephone at 760-340-2787.
Yes, and coincidentally, 2787 is arts, if that helps you remember it. That's a crazy bit of fortune that they happen to get arts. That's amazing. But before we get to our wonderful second guest, you know, I'm just going to touch briefly on the supermodel thing. I was reading you have done campaigns for Ralph Lauren, Donna Karan, Versace, and Cartier, among others. Let me ask you a question. Would you do a campaign for the clothing store Ross?
Well,
is that something you would consider? Because I don't know. It just came to me.
I've always said, you know, I may be a prostitute, but I'm an expensive one.
Okay.
There you go, baby.
So if they can pay.
If they pay, I'll show up and do my job.
That when I'm standing in line for 3 hours to get my cheap underwear, I want to see a picture of you.
The only thing I've told is off limits.
In your underwear.
I won't do those Viagra ads yet. I'm like, you know, no.
Not yet.
I'm holding off on that.
Good for you.
And I'm like, no.
Oysters and peanut butter. That'll do the trick. All right. So on that note.
Yes.
Our next next guest is a graduate of Loyola Marymount University with a BFA in theater arts. Notable credits include TV's hit NCIS LA, she's already laughing, the new series The Comeback starring Lisa Kudrow, which I must watch, I hear good things about that.
Yeah.
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, House of Lies, NBC's The New Normal with Broadway's Andrew Reynolds from The Book of Mormon, the musical. She also enjoyed a recurring role on the ABC family series Greek and was a regular on Spike TV's reality hoax series The Joe Schmo Show. I watched White Heat last night, so I want to talk like this. But here's the best part. Like our guest Hoyt Richards, you can see her on stage now in the gritty but hilarious Brad T. Gotford play Women Are Crazy Because Men Are Assholes.
Say it for Brad. Let's say it assholes. There you go. Yeah. Brad, are you happy?
That's right.
There you go.
Please welcome the one, the only Nikki McKenzie.
Hello, Nikki.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
How you doing?
How you doing?
You look terrific. The listeners can't see it, but she's wearing a wonderful gold-yellow top, which just is beaming. It's fantastic.
You know, which people don't wear that color very often, and you wear it very well.
Thank you. Well, I've been up since 5 a.m., so that means a lot.
Have you?
Yes.
What for?
I did a play this morning, a musical for a bunch of fourth graders.
Just this morning, a musical, just off the top of your head?
Yeah, so I pay my bills when I'm not on the stage. Also on the stage, I guess, for children. I do educational theater.
Wonderful.
Yeah, with
Kaiser
Permanente.
So was it an early curtain at 5 a.m.?
Unfortunately, we have to set the set up ourselves.
Okay.
So the actors were the roadies, the sound technicians, and the performers.
We've all been there.
Right.
Are you allowed to talk back when if they say things like, you're boring? Are you allowed to say anything
no,
to them?
But no, but I'm definitely broke on stage when funny things like that happen. And I look at them like little gifts because those kids are pretty funny.
Yes.
And it's cool because I get to do everywhere from elementary students to high school. So we have different shows depending on the health issue. Today it was conflict management and bullying. So I got to play, I sang a song about getting along. You got to stop, breathe, and then choose. So that you don't fight.
Stop,
breathe, and then choose.
And then choose.
Yeah,
very.
I like it.
Just relax and go. What do you mean? Like choose who you want to hang around with, or choose
who you want to punch.
Like, that's right. Exactly. Who do I want to bully today? Exactly.
Choose peace.
Peace.
So we teach the kids, and we have all these. There's like 7 songs on the show, but
that's great.
You know, when you get upset, you stop, and then you got to think about it. Then you breathe, and after you breathe, you feel a little bit better. Then you choose to make the better choice.
That doesn't work with my wife. She's still furious after she stops and breathes. Yep. Even
try to implement it as an adult.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Yeah.
Good, I will.
It's important though, to learn how to let go of these things.
I tell her that, but, what can you do? She's listening. That's why I'm making
Veronica,
fun of her.
Can I see you in the kitchen?
Yeah, it's right now.
Yeah. So, Nikki, are you a singer?
Of course you are.
Absolutely.
Sure. Yes, I started acting because I was a big musical theater buff. I still am.
Fantastic.
I love musical theater.
Good.
Jersey Boys was one of my favorite musicals. And then I somehow over the years when I went to school, I felt like I started out as a singer who could kind of act, and it kind of shifted to now I'm an actor who can kind of sing, but I'd love to sing. So.
Well, a question about that, about your work ethic and you're a series regular on the show, which you can see on Amazon. I'm not sure. You probably see another place too, the Joe Schmo Show. And I looked at that, and your character is described as Allison, the overachieving Asian.
Yes.
So, which seemed redundant to me. But let me ask you a question.
To clarify I was Asian.
Yes.
Apparently.
Well, let me ask you. Are you an overachieving Asian, or would you say you achieve just kind of the normal amount that a regular person would achieve?
I definitely think that I am an overachieving Asian.
Okay.
But, like, I'm Filipino, so it's kind of like...
Oh.
Like, I feel like Filipinos are kind of like the Asians that aren't supposed to be Asian. Like, we're not very good at math.
Okay.
You know, we are, like, tend to be curvier and, like, you know, I love, like, meat.
They must resent you for this. The full-blown Asians resent you.
Yeah, no. I mean, I wish I could be better at math and science. I always gravitated towards history and
but
English.
But Filipinos are very art-oriented.
Exactly. Yeah. Miss Saigon.
Really?
Many of the Kims are Filipino.
Yeah.
So, but I think growing up, I didn't have there weren't a ton of Asians in the industry. A lot of Filipinos with shows like Miss Saigon and Avenue Q, mm-hmm. you know, and I think, thank God, it's starting to shift where there's more diversity.
Yes.
So, no, in that way, I'm very proud to be Filipino. But, yeah, I didn't have a lot of, like, role models that happened to be, you know, Asian growing up, other than, like, Leah Salonga, who
is
amazing.
A pretty good one to have.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah? Very fantastic. So, yeah.
And in
so
fairness to the industry, we are still trying, as a white person, I can say, we're still trying to cast as many white people in Asian roles and other ethnicities as we can. You know, we're just trying to hang on to that and keep that up. But, you know, we'll do our best. But I'm glad there's roles for you. I think that's
Thank
fantastic.
You. So, yeah. Anyway, yes, they wanted to make sure everyone knew I was Asian on that show, I think.
Okay.
That was the joke. The joke
The show was on Spike TV. Yeah. And it was, I think it ended 2013, was that correct? And then you said it's available now on...
I'm sorry, yes, it was on Spike, and now on Amazon you can also watch it, and other places, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun. It was a ton of fun.
No.
I was just going to say, on some of the more current things that you've done, especially the Lisa Kudrow show, did you get a chance to work with her?
I did.
She's awesome, isn't she?
Oh, my God, she's amazing.
Yeah.
It completely made my year. She's so gracious and so funny and very welcoming to everyone on set.
Nice.
And, so it was really fun. And I had the courage to improv with her a little bit. And that was really cool. It didn't make the actual cut, but it definitely made my year, because afterwards she was like, you know, you're really funny. Good job.
Well, so. That's nice right. coming from her. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, this is the comeback, because it was a series for her. And then it didn't happen. And then it...
It's interesting, yeah. That arc of that show is really, it's funny.
Right?
It's pretty cute.
Yeah. Exactly. Did you see the other thing that she produced, actually, which was that wonderful series about going back through your family tree and then actually going back to all the places that you're the...
This was on network, right?
Yes,
she produced that?
Did yes, she wow. did. Yeah.
Okay. Now, I have a few questions for you. Is that all right?
Sure.
And then
sure.
We also want to obviously talk about your role on the show as well. I looked at your Twitter account, your Twitter feed, and I just want to run a few things by you because it's made me a little uncomfortable sitting next to you, so you can clarify some things. Firstly, you love your Mariah Carey Pandora station. You might
I
just
do.
Have 24/7 Mariah Carey.
Mm-hmm.
What other artists appear on that station? Michael Bolton? Is that another Celine Dion's Christmas stuff? What?
I love the Michael Bublé Pandora Holiday Station.
Okay.
He's just got such a beautiful voice. Frank Sinatra. Hello.
Yes.
I agree.
Basically, anything they play at Starbucks is what you're into.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, next one is, you said you can't get through an episode of the show Parenthood without crying.
Oh
wow.
I think it's such a fantastic show. I think the actors are amazing.
Good show.
Oh, it's a great show. Do you watch it?
I've watched a couple of episodes. It is a good show.
Oh, man.
Do you also cry?
I don't cry at that. I cry. So You Think You Can Dance, I will weep four times every single episode with my wife.
Really?
Yep. Weeping on the couch every episode.
For the ones that don't make it through? Or?
No. Just the
just
beautiful
in general.
Dance. And yes.
In general.
No, I couldn't care less who makes it through. But just the routines. Okay. And then recently you decided you needed to tweet to your legions of fans that you got a butt shot of B12 vitamins. What's going on there? Too much drinking and drugs? Or why? What was up with that?
No. I wish I was that exciting. I was just getting sick, and we were doing the play, and I was like, man, it would really suck to be sick in doing this. So I went to Earth Bar, and the lady said if I got a B12 shot, I would feel better. And I said, I'm game. So I put my pants down, and they gave me the butt shot.
And finally,
someone took a photograph of it?
Someone
and put it on? Yes?
Wow.
No.
Oh, no.
Maybe
I thought you said
have.
A butt shot.
A butt shot. Yeah, butt shot.
Right.
Yeah, right.
It's
in the
injection into your buttocks.
And the last one, as a Burbank resident, this caught my attention. You trashed Burbank. You said on the tweet,
God.
I can't believe it, but I'm on my way to a party in Burbank. Oh, thanks a lot, Nikki. That's great. For all the Burbank residents out there.
I love Burbank. I love Warner Brothers.
No. Wow.
Too late, dear.
Yeah.
Too late.
So
she won't be invited back there.
That's right. Exactly. Right,
cool.
They're running out of town. So your character, how is this playing this character in this fabulous production?
I love playing Phoenix. She's a lot of fun. I feel like...
Of course, we're talking about women are crazy.
I'm sorry, yes. But women are a-holes, yes.
She's got a lot of heart. I feel like there's five couples. Four of the couples tend to be a little more explosive, a little crazier. Tim and Phoenix are also interesting, but they tend to be I feel like the more grounded characters, it's a little bit more of a realistic, I think, breakup.
Okay.
Right? Am I saying that right?
Oh, absolutely. And what I love about what Nikki's done in the role, it could be a role that it'd be challenging to find laughs because a lot of the play is very overt, kind of boisterous stuff. And their relationship is probably the most grounded and the one that out of their performances where you get the humanity and that's where the humor is, you know, comes. And she does an amazing job.
Quite is.
That's terrific. Yeah. Is that right?
That's true.
Do you two interact in the show?
Not much.
We have one scene together.
Yeah, I just get to greet you, basically, give you a hug, and that's about it.
And the material is to my understanding, based on the Brad T. Gafford's personal life.
It's fascinating.
Yes.
I think that's why...
I can vouch for that.
Okay.
I heard stories over the years, yes. Well, you write what you know.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
I think that's why you can relate so well to so many aspects of the different couples, because it stems from real life, and it's crazy that it comes from one woman, but there's so much truth
behind
it.
There are many sides of one woman, right?
This is true,
yeah.
Especially a Filipino girl. No,
just kidding. Is there anything that it's, you know, the tagline is it examines the way in which men and women make each other miserable? I mean, Nikki, I don't know if you're currently involved, but is there anything with your significant others, anything you like to do to make them miserable? Any particular strategies? I've got about 100. I mean, you got anything? Because you find the person you want to annoy for the rest of your life. That's essentially what this is all about.
Right. I don't intentionally try and be crazy, but I think that's just kind of comes with the whole thing about being a woman sometimes.
Okay.
You know.
What about you, Hoyt? Any?
Well, I'm a big believer that until you try to look inwards and say, you know, answer your own questions, you're probably going to make a mess of things trying to fix someone else.
Yes.
So until you get to that point where you go, wait a second, maybe I should deal with the man in the mirror, usually life is nothing but a catastrophe until then. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well said.
Yeah.
Well said. You know, we should tell people, and we'll do it again before the show is over, where they can get tickets, first of all, to see this wonderful play. And ticket prices are very affordable, folks, between $25.69 and $39.69. And that all is determined by the seating in this wonderful theater, which is called the Macha Theater in West Hollywood. And it used to be called the Old Globe because it is a small version of...
Is that right?
...what the Old Globe Theater used to look like.
That's yet another reason to go along and see it.
Absolutely. And it's located at 1107 North Kings Road in West Hollywood. Very easy access. Great public parking across the street, by the way. Performances are Fridays at 8:30 p.m., Saturdays at 5 p.m. and 8:30, and Sundays at 6 p.m. now through February 15th. This is the extension that we mentioned earlier. And, you know, the theater is a very cool space to see this in. It's got a balcony and
great.
You look down onto the stage, and then it's, of course, in a half moon shape, three quarters, I guess is what we would refer to it, on the staging. And it's just fun. It just it rolls out and just keeps you going. And as Hoyt said, no intermission. Straight through, right?
Well, no.
Was there an intermission?
Yeah, it's a quick intermission, but you know, just so you can get another beer and
cocktails are allowed.
Yeah. Well, that's really good, and for you too. I mean, is this? I know we talked Hoyt about if it does go on a run, and is this something you could see yourself kind of going on a run with?
Oh, absolutely,
Nikki?
Absolutely, because it's so much fun to do.
Yeah.
And I've done a lot of theater in Los Angeles, and I don't think I've loved anything as much as this, and. You know, it's so thrilling because we've been selling out every show, which has been an anomaly for me. I've never experienced that with a lot of theater in Los Angeles. So
Many theaters in Los Angeles on that level can say that,
you know,
they are selling out like that. So
and what about the other people in the show? I mean, give me some dirt.
I just wanted to say
one sorry,
thing
yes.
because I said the whole thing about the tickets, but I didn't say where to go. So it is brownpapertickets.com. This is online. And I'm going to say this again, brownpapertickets.com/event/853024. I know that's a lot to take in. Simpler for you to just go to bleepingcrazy.com. That will drive you to that ticket site, bleepingcrazy.com. Can't forget that name, right?
No, that's great.
Yeah,
that makes it easy
there,
for everybody.
Get your tickets before you're not able to get tickets unless they extend it again.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it must be fun backstage, right, with this kind of show.
Oh, it's
because no one is anyone getting serious and all intense about it, or they're just letting it rip?
There's so many variety of personalities, but the great thing about the entire atmosphere back there, Brad has a very strict no a-hole policy.
Love
so,
it.
if you have any sort of attitude, you will not last in this production. And I really admire him for that. I try to do that in my productions. And we just have a bunch of great, talented people. We're all a little nuts, but we all love each other. And we're a team back there, and we have a great, great time. And it shows on stage.
I had a question. You talk about your own productions, Tortoise Productions. You had Dumbbells, which was a theater release, a feature film. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That billboard with Fabio on.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, my goodness. See, tell our listeners what that had to say.
Well, this almost around this time last year, you know, with the Oscars, we put Fabio up for Best Actor in Dumbbells for your consideration. And we actually made a little video that we put online that is hilarious, where I re-edited the movie to look like it's a drama. And this is Fabio's breakout role. It's really funny. You should check it out.
Now, with the production company, was there Tortoise? Why not Turtle? Did you do a lot of thinking about that?
No, it was just because the slow and steady way wins the race, you know, the tortoise and the hare. So
are you implying that turtles are speedy?
Well, no, I'm saying that the tortoise will get there to the finish line first.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
No, I can't say there's anything speedy about my career as an actor. The modeling career kind of, you know, jumped off really fast. As the actor, it's been the opposite.
It's been
working my way up the ladder. So Tortoise is the more appropriate title.
Doing it fabulously.
Oh, thank you, sweetheart.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Well, we are at that time to talk a little bit about embarrassing moments.
Did you tell them beforehand this was going to happen?
I actually was remiss in telling them. I'm sorry, we're springing this on you.
All right, yes. It's a kind of our baptism.
You seem like you can handle
guests.
It.
And we just want you to recall. We'll give you a moment to think about it. And recall an embarrassing situation that has happened to you on the stage or making a film or
here's your moment
television
to, yeah
and recant that story for us.
Top Dollar. No whammies. No, it's the wrong quiz show. This is Wheel of Fortune sound effect. I'm sorry.
Now, where are you? Need you.
I know. I wanted to give them some time to consider this.
Do you have a TikTok
this is perfect. No, nice. That's CSI. That's not. What about this?
It sounds like Kiss.
That's how about? There it is. That's a real drum set. That was me actually playing.
We're going to do that one more time, and then we're going to throw it to one of them, and neither of them know. Are you both ready?
Here we go.
Okay.
Ready.
Here we go.
Nikki.
Oh, man.
Wow.
My most embarrassing moment on stage. one of the plays that I do for work is a high school show about safe sex and STDs, and we do it for high school kids.
Why not?
Yeah. And I played the ingenue who, you know, had the boyfriend who cheated on her, and he got HPV.
That serves him right.
We do it for 800 students at a time, high school students.
Don't ever cheat on the pseudo-Asian. A big mistake. Go on. Sorry, Nikki.
Basically, I fell on stage in front of, 700 students in the opening scene of the show where you're supposed to, fall in love with the ingenue, and that was really embarrassing. I had to pick myself up and
that's pretty
going.
Embarrassing.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was fun.
Was it a butt fall, like a butt shot? I hate to keep bringing that word back, but or was it kind of on your face?
What was it? More on my face. I'm kind of clumsy.
Did the kids react to
that? Oh, yeah, they were laughing hysterically. And, you know, a lot of them don't go to the theater, so they'll talk back.
Right.
You know, so they kind of poked fun at me the whole time, and I eventually won them over by the time we got to the condom dance.
The
condom dance.
Thanks for just.
I'd like to see
there's
that.
There's like a condom dance, and it's like a hip hop routine, and you have this huge banana that you teach them how to put a condom on. You know, you like squeeze the tip and you roll it all the way down.
Are they aware that it's usually not the size of a giant banana? Is that something you have to tell them?
I'll speak for yourself.
Oh, nicely done. Touché, sir. That was excellent. Yeah, all right.
There you go.
Wow, okay, that's pretty
fun. Well, we've got to get ourselves to that show.
I know.
Yeah, right?
And Hoyt.
You could be a stunt double. Yeah.
There you go.
Anything embarrassing or are you too handsome
had several embarrassing moments, but one of the ones that scarred me from the beginning was my very first paid modeling job was in New York for a company called Bonjour at the time, which was known as like Bonjour Jeans. And so they said, oh, they're doing Bonjour underwear. And, you know, I just come out of playing football, so I thought I had a good body. I'm like, oh, I guess I get the underwear job. Like, and I arrive, and I first find out they only want to shoot my crotch. My face isn't even in it. So that's the first demoralizing mm-hmm. thing. Then I go in and this stylist, who's clearly gay, yes. Says, well, you know, put on the underwear. And I did. And he's like, okay, well, now it's time to stuff you. And I said, excuse me? And I had to stand there as he took tissue and stuffed my package. Claiming that
see, I would not have had that problem.
I'm no, sure, yeah,
claiming,
still, I'm sure.
Claiming that
sure.
there was, you know, it had to have everything smooth. And luckily, it was a female photographer. So when I went out on set, she's like, oh, my God, what did you do to this guy's crotch? And so the ad, as it appears, was all me.
Whoa, okay. So, can you send us that
yeah, can we see file,
it was on please. The back of buses, you know, it's a, you have to look.
Holy cow. Yeah. Do you have a photograph
but
it, of it?
I, that's, no,
you
I don't.
You can send to Mark?
But that's...
Thank you, Stella. Yes, please.
Actually, I think it's one of those photographs that got leaked out to the public.
Yeah. Really? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, wow, that would be, I would love you to send it to me. I'll send it to Nikki and she can tweet it.
There you go. Totally because yeah. tweet it.
We've got the butt shot and we got the front yeah. shot. Yeah, there you go.
Don't tweet it to Burbank.
That's
don't
right.
Tweet it to Burbank.
You're in trouble there.
She's
already,
not welcome
so.
There. Yeah. Well, it was wonderful having both
so,
of you here.
So, so, so nice. And congratulations on Women Are Crazy Because Men Are A-Holes. It is again playing at the Matcha Theater through February 15th. Online tickets, bleepingcrazy.com. You get yourself away from that television and get yourself into live theater and see this
yes.
very clever, very witty, stylish, edgy, contemporary comedy.
And if I come with my wife, will you two come out and say hello to us?
Oh, absolutely.
Good. I can't wait. That'll be great.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you again. Thank you, Mark, for another great show.
Yes, Stella, you two have a wonderful week.
Yes, we'll see you next week on the radio.
See thanks, you next guys. Week. Thanks.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohle right here on LA Talk Radio.